Welcome everybody into the Benchwarmers Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I am Matt Trudell, and with me, like always,
Alex Baker. You might want to tune out for this one because I'm the only one here.
Yeah. So if you're gonna take a break from Benchwarmers Redemption,
today's the day. It's like in the old days of PTI, whenever Dan Lebatard used to guest host it, everybody would just tune out.
Yeah, man. I that's one of those shows, and I don't watch it. I don't watch ESPN really anymore unless it's live sports, but that was one of those shows that like Tony and Michael Wilbon just had the greatest chemistry ever. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Mike and Mike, and now it's gotten to the point that they like hate each other. It's crazy.
So what's more of that drama going on between Mike and Mike?
Isn't it something like Greenberg has an option to go do something else or something like that, and like Golic's all like, which I understand, because in that scenario, right, look at it like this, right, especially in a Mike Golic sense, right, the reason why Mike Golic has made it so far is partially because of his chemistry with Mike Greenberg. Mike Greenberg's the professional. Mike Golic's just a former athlete.
Yeah, former athlete guy
that got paired into this. So I think he does a good job, but I understand why he's a little worried, because he's sitting there like, yo, my man's leaving me. What if I don't mesh well with anybody else? He's probably made enough money in his career that he'll be all right.
Yeah, those two are well off.
Yeah. All right. So, yes, this is Benchwarmers Redemption. We just talked about ESPN for way too long. All right, Alex, let's start with the MLB today. First thing I want to start with, Baltimore Orioles. 2-game winning streak. Whoop-de-doo. I know. I heard
Tigers won two in a row too.
Yeah. Right. You know, like I heard on the ride in this morning on another radio station, people being like, oh, these are the two games that turns the whole season around. And I'm like, really? No, they're not. Like, we still have Ubaldo Jimenez and Wade Miley. In saying that, there was a report last week that came out that said everybody for the Rosenthal came out with
Ken
it.
Rosenthal? Yeah.
Everybody on the Orioles was up for grabs except for Michael Givens, Adam Jones, and Manny Machado. So that made me mad. That straight up made me mad. It turns out that seemed to be like a little bit of BS. We all know Ken Rosenthal does not like the Orioles. I don't remember exactly why that is, but I know that it's been
Angelus.
A well-documented, probably.
Yeah.
I mean, let's be honest. But then a report comes out yesterday from Fox Sports, which I believe was probably Rosenthal as well, that said that Pino Angelos gave Dan Duquette the go-ahead to trade the top relievers on the team and Seth Smith. So top relievers, I would probably say that means O'Day, Brock, Britton. Mm-hmm. Seth Smith, I just don't know what you're really getting from these. Like, I feel like I don't understand, and I know people are probably getting so tired of me coming on this show and complaining about why we're not getting rid of Manny. But why isn't he on that list?
Well, what's his contract? I forget.
He's gone at the end of next year.
Gone at the end of next year.
So right now is the time.
Yeah, that is the time.
It was either during the offseason this past year or right now. Otherwise, you're going to get something for him, but you're not going to get what you should be getting for a player like this. And I heard someone the other day, I was having a conversation with one of the people from the TV side here, and he knows a lot about sports, so I don't want to be that hard on him, but he was just talking about, like, you know, just like, well, Manny's having an off year, we might not get stuff for him. They're not, trust me, people, we're going to get stuff for him. He's Manny Machado. Like, he's shown more often than not he's a very solid player. I don't think he's falling off. So I don't understand why Machado is not on that list. I just don't.
Maybe they just feel that he's going to be their franchise player, like the guy everybody goes to see at Camden.
And my retort to that, and I understand, right? But do you, would you, as an Orioles fan, put your Orioles shoes on right now, right? Mm-hmm. If you're an Orioles fan who went through 14 years of losing seasons, right, where we had guys like Melvin Mora, Melvin Mora was a decent player, but the only reason why he went to the All-Star game every year is we needed to send one.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But he was a good player, but he was it. We had him and, like, Jeff Conine. And
Brian,
like,
Roberts.
And who got paid to sit on the bench for ages and ages and ages ever since he got caught with steroids. But for some odd reason, Orioles fans love that man. I hated Brian Roberts. I'll tell you something. You know why I hated Brian Roberts? My number one reason why I hated Brian Roberts, right, is I don't understand how Orioles fans could turn on Rafael Palmeiro so quickly with the steroids, right, but back up Brian Roberts. We're talking Rafael Palmeiro. You know what that man did for the Baltimore Orioles through his two stints with the Orioles? And we turn the freaking Yankees backed Giambi better than the Orioles backed Palmeiro, and Giambi was only there for like 3 years.
Brian Roberts hustles, and he plays the game the right way.
Oh, my God. He can't slide head first. He got paid to get a tan. I hated Brian Roberts. Like, seriously, Brian Roberts, if the Orioles ever do something nice for you, I will be so mad. I'll be so mad. I hate Brian Roberts. Like, I really do. He's, like, he's up there as, like, one of my least favorite Orioles of all time. Just straight up. Like, I can't. You know, my man Raffy, the whole town turned on him. They're like, oh, my God, Raffy, we believed you.
Was it because of the congressional hearing?
Who cares? Who cares? Less people turned on Lance Armstrong, and he's a terrible human. He's a far more terrible human than Palmeiro. Palmeiro literally did steroids, lied about it. Lance Armstrong did steroids, lied about it, ruined people's lives, and was a pompous a-hole about the whole situation. But he's got more fans. Look what he's done for cancer research. Like, oh my God, get that crap out of here, man. Ugh. Anywho, I digress.
Nice rant.
I'm just being honest. Like, all right, so back to Melvin Mora point, because you just sent me off on that little tangent. All right, Melvin Mora was probably the highest paid player on the Orioles for many years. He was probably the best player on the Orioles for many years. But because Pino Angelos is who he is, Melvin Mora got this money, everybody else got nothing, and we were crap. So would Orioles fans, you currently being one of them in your Orioles shoes,
okay,
would you want Manny Machado, one of the best players currently of his generation of players, on
keep
the Orioles,
pay him a lot of money while the other team craps out?
While the rest of the team is just terrible.
Yeah.
Because it's not like we have the minor league system to sustain around him. You can't sign him and Scope, in my opinion. And if you do sign him and Scope, you're going to have like Jim Bob Billy Thomas being the ace of the team, where he throws an 89 mile an hour fastball, you know, yeah, and a 60 mile an hour curveball. Like, it's just like you got to pick and choose. And unfortunately, in baseball, you need, in my opinion, to be a team that could threaten for the World Series, you need three solid starting pitchers.
Yep.
You need a good bullpen.
Yep. I know all about that. Yeah.
And then after that, you need decent defense and the ability to play, have some sort of offense. The better your pitching, the less your offense has to come into play. But you see the Orioles. They either put up 0 runs or they put up 12 runs.
Sounds very
similar. They either give up 1 run or they give up 8 runs.
Sounds very similar.
So, like, my thing is, yeah, could we keep Manny Machado, sign him to a ridiculous deal, and have him there and be a winning team? I don't see a way where we can.
So you feel that they're not going sell all the way unless Manny Machado is also up for grabs?
Agreed.
Okay.
Because to me, honestly, here's how I feel, right? If you say we're not trading Britton, we're not trading O'Day, we're not trading Brock, but Manny Machado is the only one that is available, that's still sell to me. Like, he needs to go. We need to get something for him. And Britton needs to go, in my opinion. I think Britton should be traded to the Dodgers because they want him and they have a good farm club. Are we going to... Jordan sat here a couple weeks ago and said, you're never guaranteed. You're right. But to me, it's a numbers game. It's Moneyball. We got three or four guys coming in. We got one guy leaving. We know that one guy is pretty dope. But we got three or four guys coming in. If two of those guys can end up making the MLB roster, that's a win. Any more than that is amazing.
So where do you, if you trade them, where do you want them to go? Where you can get somebody for?
I would love to trade Machado and Britton over to both the Dodgers. I don't see that happening because they have a third baseman. I would say, and unfortunately the Yankees just traded for a third baseman, which we'll get into in a minute. I would trade Britton to the Dodgers. Manny's tough, right? Because I would either trade Britton to the Dodgers or the Nationals. The Nationals will never happen because Peter Angelos and them hate each other, right? So I'm sitting here thinking I would trade Britton to the Dodgers. Mm-hmm. Manny, who needs a third baseman that's a contender out there and has a decent farm club? You know, I mean, one that comes off in the top of my head that I know will never make that trade is the Rays, because they're not going to be able to afford to keep him. But they have a good farm club. So I don't know. Who's in the mix? Does Cleveland need a third baseman? Because Cleveland's sitting there. They're kind of like the Orioles from a couple years ago. They have this window, right?
And it's going to be closing soon.
So, and they know darn well they're not going to be able to sign Manny forever, but they could get Manny for the rest of this year and next year and make a run. I don't know, some team like that, but we got to get something. And if he just walks away in a year and a half, I'm going to be hurt. I told you the other day, I might have to hop on this Detroit Tigers bandwagon.
What?
I might have to.
You heard about the trade we made, right?
Yeah, you guys, and that was coming up.
JD Martinez
to the D-backs,
and I love JD. He was probably, you talked about that 2014 ALDS. We were lucky we even got there, and that was because of him. Because every time in the ninth inning, he got a home run. He's been our best hitter the last few years. I'm sad to see him go, but I expected it. It was obvious to everybody he was leaving. We didn't get anything for him.
Now, this is interesting to me, because to me, the D-backs made this deal, essentially.
They got a steal.
They did get a steal, but they did it to get a wild card. Like, they're not going to win their division.
Oh, no way in hell, but for the D-backs who are kind of, have a couple of good years, suck for five.
Well, they're
get to the playoffs,
situation.
That's good for them.
They're in a situation because Goldschmidt's there. Like, they have... They
oh,
got
yeah,
Granke,
I mean, Goldschmidt
they have,
are going to tear it up.
Yeah, they have a situation where they could make a possible run. Like, I get that. But, like, I think the Orioles are struggling with understanding that they are done. We're only going to be worse next year. And the fact of the matter is, we don't have the assets to come in and get... Even if we trade and get a starting pitcher... Okay, Dylan Bundy's only been regressing recently. Kevin Gausman will give you a good game and then suck. Kevin Gausman's the white, young Ubaldo Jimenez right now. So I personally don't understand that. The Yankees go out and get Todd Frazier. They got Todd Frazier and they got a pitcher, I believe.
Yeah, another guy from the White Sox.
Robertson.
Yeah.
So I think that's a smart move by them. I think that's a smart move for them, because they've been kind of, I wouldn't say sucking recently, but they've been falling back, and they need something like that. So I think that's a good trade for them. The Cubs get Quintana from the White Sox.
They were going after Verlander. Fulmer. They were going after Fulmer.
Yeah, and the Detroit said Fulmer was off the table, and Verlander apparently isn't getting no love.
He's 34 years old. He's having a terrible year, and I think he's gone.
Yeah.
And I've even heard that they're trying to get rid of Miggy.
Oh, I believe that.
Because he's having the worst year of his career. He's 34.
If the Orioles could do it right now, they'd get rid of Chris Davis, but there's no way. No one's going to want to take that contract. And the Nationals acquire two relievers from Oakland, which I think that's, I think in a perfect world, they wanted Zach Britton.
Yeah.
Because they need a closer.
And they already, I know they already got rid of K-Rod already.
Yeah. So they need a closer because that's their only real flaw on their team. And, but the problem is they knew darn well that the Orioles were not going to be selling no Zach Britton mm-hmm. to the Nationals. It just wasn't happening.
Manson.
They wouldn't give Ryan Flaherty to the Nationals. That's how much they hate the Nationals. Like, seriously, like, I will tell you, though. So I think the Nationals made a smart move because they went out and they got two relievers. Both could potentially close from the Athletics. And they gave up. And I think the Athletics ended up with a situation where one of the guys that they got in the deal is a pitcher that the Nats brought up to be a closer earlier this year, and he just kind of choked. And they know he's going to be a good pitcher, but he was just rushed to the big leagues.
Yeah.
And since the Athletics aren't going anywhere anytime soon, they can afford to sit and wait on that. Where the Nationals, their window's starting to close. Let's be honest.
Really? You think they're closing? Look how good of a year they're having.
I'm not speaking on this year.
Okay.
I'm speaking on, like, they have 2-3 years. In my opinion.
Okay. Gotcha.
Like, there's more pressure on them because they've had a window and they've sustained a window for a while now. But that window is going to close, especially if they lose Bryce Harper.
Okay, now I get you.
But yeah, so far those are, you know, the big moves that have happened.
The Tigers, I don't know what they were doing. You tap a farm system from the Diamondbacks that a lot of people consider to be the worst in baseball.
Which is crazy because the Orioles are out there, and the Orioles are probably like between the 25 to 30 range.
Yeah, just, sell, but get something in return.
That is the key.
Get the window back open.
Yeah, and that's where I'm saying with the Machado situation, I'm not saying give him away for a ball of bags and some hot dogs. I'm saying give him away for
make sure
some
it's good,
players,
yeah.
Man. But like, so we'll see about that. We will see about that.
Good luck, JD.
I like JD Martinez.
Oh, I love him.
I think
he'll do. I hope they go deep this year.
You'll be watching. You'll be a pseudo D-bags.
Yeah.
D-bags fan. D-bags. Sorry.
I'll be wearing Abercrombie and Fitch with like my cap backwards.
A popped collar. A popped pink polo.
It's like, bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh.
Yeah. You want to play some beer pong? We're having beer Olympics.
I changed my name to Braden.
Oh my God. Yeah.
I'll play lacrosse.
Braden. Play lacrosse. Wear one of those like Lacoste like hats.
Lax is life, bro.
Lax is life, bro. We're gonna do the beer Olympics at the frat house tonight, bro. All right.
Let's watch Johnny Darko for
we just
time.
Insulted like a lot of sports fans. Yes. So yeah. Let's play GameCube. You know where I went with that? Yes. I'm sorry. All right, let's shout out to Donald Glover, man. NFL. Panthers fire their GM.
Oh wow. When did this happen? Yesterday?
This happened a few days ago, honestly. Oh. I think his last name was Griffin, Garnett, Gannett, something like that. I'm really screwing it up right now. But anyways, they got rid of him, right? Hmm. So did you hear last week D'Angelo Williams, who is a free agent currently, put up, he said, I'm a free agent, I'm available.
Like I'm not going to sign with these certain teams.
And the Panthers were one of them.
I love D'Angelo Williams. He's so cool.
Yeah, he is. I respect him for he wanted to do the breast cancer hair for his mom.
Yeah, and that was so stupid what the NFL did. Just let him wear the hair.
Yeah, so he was just like, fine, I'll just take the fine.
Yeah.
You know, I appreciate that. I've always liked D'Angelo Williams. I've made a couple mistakes a few years in fantasy by getting him, by liking him that much, but
yeah.
I've always liked him.
He's a solid player. He's no Barry Sanders or anything like that, but yeah. He's solid.
Yeah, he's a very likable guy, too, yeah. In my opinion.
I heard he was trying to do pro wrestling.
Yeah, I think I might have heard that, too. Yeah. But, so, he has officially taken the Panthers off that list. He said, because they got rid of the snake, who was the general manager.
Oh, okay.
And apparently Steve Smith put out a tweet, you know, essentially saying that he wasn't a big fan of that GM either.
Interesting.
The only person that has been publicly saddened by the firing of the GM is the Blind Side himself.
Michael Orr. He's only been on the team, though, for like a couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. If Michael Orr, if there's only two reasons why Michael Orr is still in the league. He's kind of like Kwame Brown, right? Not number one overall pick, but he's kind of like Kwame Brown. And this is why I'll say this.
It's because of the movie.
His size and potential, right?
Yeah.
That's one. And two is the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the Titans picked him up. And the sole reason why the Titans picked him up is one, he was from Tennessee.
Yeah, remember that.
And, you know, Sandra Bullock taught him how to play sports with mustard bottles. And they're like, you know, I'm just like, it's the dumbest thing ever. That movie
was so inspirational, Matt. How dare you?
It was a good movie. But, like, doesn't mean that, look, honestly, this is what happens when people make a movie about you before you go into the NFL. You get big on yourself and you suck. Mm-hmm. The man could not false start. When he was a Raven. And then he kind of fixed that when he was in Tennessee, but he couldn't block when he was in Tennessee. And then he goes to the Panthers and they go to the Super Bowl. You know, it's like, it just doesn't make sense. So that's why he's still in the league. But he's the only one saddened by this. I'm sure most GMs aren't really liked.
No. And owners.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think nobody really likes... the Panthers owner. Forget his name, but he's an old guy.
Yeah.
No fans hate
him. He kind of looks like the dude from Eight Crazy Nights.
Yeah.
What is his name? Yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, so, I mean, it doesn't really surprise me that players are like, oh, yeah, we got rid of this snake, especially two former players from there. And you know Steve Smith was upset with the lack of respect that the Panthers showed him when his contract ran out because they didn't really offer him anything. Or like he said they like offered him something that was laughable, you know, like that they knew he would never take. And then he goes to Ravens and has a couple really decent seasons. He got injured in one. But I mean, so you had that, right? And then you have D'Angelo Williams, who was there for a while and left, you know, so could it be partially bitter? Yeah. Probably. Could it be true? Probably. I mean, I like GMs. I'll tell you, I think Theo Epstein is an amazing GM. He's probably the greatest GM to ever be involved in baseball, right? But you can look at him and tell that he's not a peach.
No.
He's not a peach to deal with. Like, I guarantee you. And that's kind of the role that they have to take anyway. So,
oh, yeah, it's like even in the movie Moneyball where Billy Bean doesn't talk to any of the players just because, like, I'm gonna have to fire you eventually. Oh, I might have to fire you, and I don't want to have to like cavil this baggage that we had a friendship or something.
Which there's a double-edged sword with that, right? Mm-hmm. Because it's very tough, you know. For now, granted, these dudes are making a bunch of money, so they should just shut up. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right. But, I mean, it is one of those things that, like, I think everybody ultimately wants to be accepted by their boss, you know?
Yeah, you want a friendly relationship.
Yeah, like, you know, it doesn't have to be, you know, you just want to make sure it's not fake, and then you just definitely don't want no communication at all. So, like, I understand both sides on that. So that's a double-edged sword as it is. I think Billy Bean is, now granted, you know, the Athletics haven't been good in forever, but... alone off of the talent that they bring up through their farm system and then send to be good players elsewhere. Yeah. I think he's one of the best GMs. Like, it just is unfortunate. Like, it's like everybody, and I know we were just on NFL. I'm going to go back to MLB real quick, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm in a bunch of Orioles groups and, like, seeing what, and people resoundingly hate Dan Duquette. Now, part of it is just. The just part of it is he wasn't even in baseball anymore, and the Orioles went and got him and brought him back into baseball, gave him a GM position. And then right after they start being successful, Toronto was trying to, remember the Toronto offseason where they tried to scoop him up, Batista? From the Orioles?
Was it Batista?
No. It was the management at, they wanted to bring Dan Duquette from being the GM at the Orioles to the GM at Toronto. And he entertained it. So I get why people are mad about that. But I will say, you can only, when you are a Theo Epstein and you're with the Red Sox and you're with the Cubs and you have owners that are willing to open up their pocket.
And you're in big market teams.
And you're big market teams. You know, like, you can't make chicken salad out of chicken you-know-what. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't. And I think Dan Duquette has done an amazing job of bringing over Nate McLouth. The Nate McLouth pickup in 2012, granted, he was crap after that. But when they picked him up and brought him over, he was an intricate part of why the Orioles were successful. And he doesn't get credit for that. I think he's just made, I mean, Travis Snyder, yeah, he made a mistake with that, right? Mm-hmm. Hyunsoo Kim looked like to be a decent pickup. So I don't think he's made terrible decisions, but it's also like people, when you get to the trading deadline, they're like, oh, Dan should trade this to get this. And one, it's like, that's an impossible trade. Like, you're not going to be able to trade Ryan Flaherty and J.J. Hardy for Clayton Kershaw. It's just not going to happen. It's not going to happen in any world, right?
Especially J.J. Hardy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you hear fans say, oh, we need to do that, you know, and it's like, no, stop, you know? That's just not going to happen. So, like, he's doing the best he can with what he has. So don't hate on the man for it. You can hate on him for the Toronto thing. I totally understand that. But to sit there and be like, he's not doing anything, do you really think his hands are like, do you think Peter Angelos is the kind of guy that goes, Dan, do whatever you want?
No.
No. No. Not at all. Back to NFL. I've been on a couple
tangents there.
Couple rants.
What do you think about Brian Roberts again?
NFL. Do you hear about this Ezekiel Elliott situation?
What did he do this time?
He got in an incident at a bar where a guy ended up having to go to the hospital. Right? And you also heard about earlier in the year, like around St. Patrick's Day, he like took this girl's shirt off.
Yeah, I heard about
that. And exposed her breastises to the world. And that's an incident, right? So when you're in trouble and you play
for
Dallas,
the domestic violence thing,
who are you gonna call? Jerry Jones. Did you hear what Jerry Jones said? He was asked about Zeke Elliott and if he's worried about the incidents.
I only care what they do on the field.
No. An even better answer. A Jerry Jones answer to the fullest. What? He's just getting used to the rock and roll treatment.
What do you expect from him? Like, this guy had like Michael Irvin in the team in the 90s. Like, he's always been like, I don't care what they do off the field.
He also had like 20-year-olds grinding on him in the hallway of a hotel. Shame on you, 20-year-old girls. Come on, like,
it's old enough to be like your grandfather.
Well, I get that there's dudes with like, he's got a lot of money, but there's dudes with like still a lot of money, not that much money, that, you know, come on. I ain't saying she's a gold digger. What?
No, nothing. Just don't finish that other line.
Oh, yeah. Kirk Cousins, still unsigned on long-term deal. I heard the other day that he's completely fine with this year-to-year contract situation. How long do you think the Redskins will do this with him?
I think maybe the end of this year. I think if they have a really solid year, like 10, 11 win season, they win the division and at least win one playoff game, I think they will go, okay, we'll sign this guy. But if it's another year of this where they flirt with 500, maybe just barely squeak into the playoffs or just barely miss it, I think they might cut him. Or they might keep going and going for another couple.
You know, I've been a firm believer in saying these year by year contracts. Unless you're like a Tom Brady, even Andrew Luck's deal is a bad deal.
Yep.
You know? All right. Let's switch to a topic of conversation that I was kind of avoiding, but we are actually only about halfway through this show. And we're running out of topics, so...
Is it Tim Tebow?
No. Tim Tebow's the lead of the show every week. he's the white Bo Jackson. Yo, Tim Tebow's going to be like the first guest on this show when he makes it to the big leagues. Mm-hmm. You know he's going to have like, man, you know what the saddest part is? You know someone out there's already working on his 30 for 30.
Oh, yeah.
What if I told you Jesus can make you play sports? Sorry. All right. I think he's a fraud. I can't wait till the day that his fraudness comes out.
We see him like at nightclubs partying. Well, you know, like,
yeah, like
stuff.
Snorting lines in the bathroom. Yes. And like, honestly, like, and I feel bad for him because he's not the one that created this machine, mm-hmm. right? So people created the machine around him. I actually don't dislike Tim Tebow. I just dislike the mania so much, partially, mainly because of Skip Bayless. But then you have, because of Skip Bayless, I love you to death, Kelvin. But you have people like Kelvin out here. Mm-hmm. You got people like, I've met tons of people that are like, oh my God, Tim Tebow. Like, he kneels down and he's just amazing. You know what I'm saying?
And Tebowing like, and everything.
Yeah, so like, I just want him to stop. And I just want ESPN to just stop. Like, Skip Bayless is gone. You don't need to do this anymore.
You still got Stephen A. Smith, though.
But Stephen A. Smith hated Tim Tebow. I don't think he hated Tim Tebow. I just think he hated the fact that they had to spend every show, every day, about Tim Tebow. It's like, oh, Tim Tebow threw a ball. You know, look at his windup. It's speeding up. And, you know, Stephen A. is like, let me tell you. And Skip Bayless is like, Tim Tebow is one of the greatest athletes of all time. You know, it's just like, you know, that's their show right there. Like, straight up, Odd Couple. Michael Vick, yeah, Colin Kaepernick. This is something that I didn't really want to talk about.
Because of his hair. So he said it was because of his hair that he's not getting picked up?
He said he needs to cut his hair if he expects to get picked up.
Well, that must be hard to put on that helmet with all that big afro.
I mean, if Troy Polamalu can put a helmet on, you know what I'm saying? Like, Randy Moss had an afro at one point, remember that? Yeah. And then you saw Kaepernick responded with the whole Stockholm Syndrome thing.
No.
You didn't hear about this?
So what, that he eventually grows to like the NFL?
No. So Colin Kaepernick was just talking about how, like, to paraphrase, at least what I think most people took from it, is like, Michael Vick's been held captive under the oppressor for so long that he starts to sympathize with his cause.
Of the NFL. Or just, I'm confused.
I think it was more, I would imagine the NFL / white people.
Okay.
You know, the kind of deal like that is like, you know, I'm out here having an afro and now you're telling me, you know, that I can't have an afro. Like, what? Yeah, I mean, y'all don't remember, Michael Vick had cornrows back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But then he got caught fighting pits, and he had to change his life around.
For the bad news.
Yeah, so there's been a lot of people, like, I saw a meme earlier today before we came in here, where you remember the race draft from Dave Chappelle?
Yes, yes.
So they're trying to trade R. Kelly and Michael Vick to the white race for Justin Timberlake and Drew Brees.
Drew Brees.
Right, I don't know why Drew Brees ended up in that trade, but I guess he's cool. He's allowed at the cookouts and everything like that. So. Yeah.
I just remember the Seventh Floor Crew song, and one of the comments was, "We the black delegation select Greg Olson."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I mean, I think Michael Vick has done a great job of repairing his reputation amongst a lot of people. At the same time, like, if he was reaching out to say that, to kind of compare that they were similar, like, Colin Kaepernick took a controversial political stance.
Yeah.
And grew out his hair. Those are the two things he did. And that's why he's demonized in the league.
Yeah, I mean, like, the big thing is, like, all Kaepernick did was sit down for the national, take a knee for the national anthem, and grew an afro. Nobody wants to touch him. Michael Vick killed dogs and electrocuted them in horrible and other
and drowned them and hung horrible them things. And, yeah.
once he's done with his prison sentence, come and play for the Eagles. You
know? Well, that's the thing is it goes back to the whole Ray Rice argument. Is if Ray Rice had one of his best seasons before he, and I'm sorry, I have to say it this way, knocked his wife out in the elevator, he would be in the NFL. But he had one of his worst seasons, if not his worst
even
season.
With Kaepernick, like he's not Kaepernick the guy. He was the guy he used to be.
Yeah. Now, at the same time, I would still probably take him as a backup quarterback over.
It's a lot of these. Like at the NFL, they say, well, it's this or this. It's all
like
about
Mike Glennon's getting paid, but Cap can't be.
Like it's always about if you're talented, and they can always if you're talented, you can be a starter. You're really solid. They'll put everything away.
How many teams were willing to deal with the T.O. and Randy Moss show while they were good?
Yeah.
You know, but once you start to
suck.
Michael
Irvin stabbed a guy in the neck with scissors.
Allegedly. Okay. We can go into Ray Lewis. We can go into Terrell Suggs. Allegedly. We can go into, I mean, all day long, I can, Greg Hardy.
Well, that's not allegedly.
Yeah, no, but what I'm saying is, like, you can go all day long, like Ben Roethlisberger. Like, you can go all day long with all these people.
And because they're at the top, they were at the top of their game.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. If Chad Johnson would have headbutted his reality star wife before he started to decline, he'd probably still be a Bengal. Yep. But he headbutted her when he wasn't that good as a Bengal, and then he ended up going to New England. They did that man dirty by saying that he didn't know how to read a playbook. Like, I just, like, that's so messed up. Like, free my man Chad Johnson, man. Ocho Cinco, you can always come here. I love that man. Like, straight up, I will, like, people always, he's kind of like, he gets such a bad rap. Like, they're like, oh, he enjoys playing the game. You know, it's like, oh my God. I just, yeah. Here's my feeling. Kaepernick should be a backup quarterback in the NFL.
At least, like, for, like, special, like, wildcat options or something.
Johnny Manziel will get a better chance at going back to the league before Kaepernick. And that's crazy. That man was on drugs, and he's already a billionaire. So, like, I talk about, man, that's the new, what, Pete Marinovich or whatever? What was it? No.
Todd Marinovich?
Todd Marinovich. Yeah. I always mix up Pistol Pete Maravich and Todd Marinovich. Todd Marinovich. Yeah, like, I mean, he's just going to be that guy. He's going to...
He's the next Ryan Leaf.
The next Ryan... I mean, I guess. I don't know. Like, I never thought he'd be a good NFL player. Like, I think a lot of people...
A lot of people didn't really think relief was going to be that good. Or even at the time he got drafted, people were like, I don't know.
Dude, quarterbacks do a great job of, like... Like, Jamarcus Russell had one good bowl game, and he could throw the ball 70 yards, and they were like, oh, we got to get this guy.
Mm-hmm. They like pizza.
Kyle Bowler could throw the ball 70 yards from his knees, and he hit on Brian Billick's daughter. That's literally why. Yeah, they were together. That's why, like, yeah. I'm not sure if they're married, but I know that they were together for some time. Like, I just think it's kind of, like, sad that... I mean, these teams have every right to be like, you know what? Your storm is going to be too much for what we have to deal with. But who's doing Hard Knocks next year? They could use him.
Bucks.
He can't back up Jameis?
Yeah. They still got Glennon, right? Or did Glennon go somewhere else?
Glennon went to the... Remember, he got paid by the Bears.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Kyle Bowler. All right, guys. You ready?
If you wanted your Kyle Bowler information...
All right, so his wife is not, well.
Boy, that's why he got kicked off the team because he was.
Well, he finally. Brian Billick, Kyle Bowler. Keep talking.
Okay. Oh, Connor Cook brings up Kyle Bowler memories to Brian Billick. Is that anything relevant?
I don't know, man. I'm trying to, like.
Maybe, where do you get your information from? I want to know.
I've heard it over the years. Like, it's just one of those. It could have been, like, one of those jokes. You know?
Like Cal Ripken and Kevin Costner?
No, that's not a joke. That's real. Everybody knows that's real. All right? They're not just like The Shining, okay? I'm trying to...
Abisail Garcia and Prince Fielder.
I believe at one point he was at least like going out with his daughter or something like that. Or like alright, whatever. I don't care about reading right now, so because we're doing a radio show, but take my word for it. Google it later. Yeah. So I think I definitely think there's collusion going on in the NFL.
But they can't prove it, and that's the point.
They can't prove it. It's very hard to prove. But I'll tell you, it's there's no doubt in my mind this is happening, because you see what has happened in the NBA, where players have such a vocal piece. You know, like you had Josh Howard back in the day saying, "I'm not going to stand up for the national anthem." Oh, like, yeah. And he was even like, "I smoke weed in the off season. You'll test me for the regular season and I won't test positive, but I smoke weed in the off season," you know? So you had LeBron and the Cavs. They warmed up in the Black Lives Matter shirt once, you know? So like, I think the NFL looks and sees, wow, these players, you know, are making all these statements and they're kind of isolating a fan base, I guess, quote unquote, yeah, or whatever. Where, so the NFL's like, we want everybody to like us. So, one, by stomping out Colin Kaepernick and making him go away, you're making sure your, in quotes, white fan base feels comfortable.
Yeah,
right?
Feels comfortable.
And then on top of that, you also show all these other dudes in the league, speak up like Kaepernick did. See what happens. Which is screwy, because that's messing with freedom of speech.
Oh, yeah. But NFL, they got the power.
But you know what? You'd see me in a situation. I'd be Eugene Monroe. I'd be quiet my whole career and collect all that check. And then as soon as I was done, I'd just start running my mouth. Because you saw he was running his mouth about legalizing marijuana and having all the NFL players use it, this and the other. Next thing you know, the Ravens cut him. He's just like, cool, I'm going to be the ambassador for smoking weed.
So is Jake Plummer.
Jake Plummer, yeah. I mean, you could tell when you saw Jake Plummer's photo.
Colorado, man.
Yeah. All right. Any more NFL stuff you want to talk about?
When's is training camp's going to start, like in a week or so, right?
Is it that soon?
Yeah, it always starts like the last week in July.
All right. You heard it here first. I don't care who you are. That's funny right there. All right. NBA. So, couple quick notes about the NBA. Paul Pierce signs a contract with the Rockets. I mean, the Celtics. To retire.
Well, the retirement contract.
Yeah. I guess my question with him is, why not just play another year for the Celtics if they would allow it?
Well, I don't, last couple years he hasn't really been playing much, has he?
Nah, he played for the Wizards, and then he went to the Nets?
Yeah, the Nets for a year. But I don't remember him playing like last year.
Oh, maybe that is the case. I don't know. I just feel like nowadays it's cool to have old past their prime veterans on your bench making league minimums. Maybe he's just like, it's not worth $1 million to... You're right, because last year he was doing the... he was up in the booth.
Oh, yeah.
And Chauncey was up there, too.
Maybe. Yeah, he's probably going to be playing for the big three.
I don't think he'll do that. I'll tell you something. The big three is not going to last long.
Yeah, I've heard there's already some sort of controversy around it.
Is there?
Yeah, I'll have to look at it was on Deadspin. The arenas aren't getting, the cities that are hosting them aren't getting like the payments or something. I forget the whole issue, but there was something up with it.
AI didn't play in one of the games. In his Philadelphia homecoming.
Yeah, you're playing Philly. The game's just practice, you know?
Dude, I know. That's like G of what I'm... You know, I just... While the league boasted the likes of Mike Bibby, Chauncey Billups, and Jermaine O'Neal, it was no secret that the biggest marquee draw it had in the elevator pitch was Allen Iverson in the role of player coach. By the way, this is from Business Insider, Tyler Lauletta. I'll give you credit, bro.
if you're a fan of the show.
The announcement came just a few minutes before the game was set to begin at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. It was made via the Big 3 Instagram feed.
So where are these?
Iverson is the Axl Rose of basketball.
Nice.
Go ahead. What were you going to say? I'm sorry.
So where are these three teams? Or are they just like touring around the country?
I think they're just touring around the country.
Got it.
It's terrible. And granted, this is coming off of like 3 minutes of watching, but I'll tell you, those were like some of the worst 3 minutes of my life.
And it's like they don't even do it live. It's all pre-recorded, right?
Well, they do it live there, but then it's, yeah, so they can get preferential television time slots. They pre-record it. So WWE is more up-to-date than they are.
Yeah, got it.
Manu Ginobili. It looks like he's going to sign with the Spurs for another year. You know, I don't know. I love Manu Ginobili. He's one of my favorite players I've ever seen play the game. And I'm just kind of like, bro, what's the point? You had this legacy.
Yeah, just retire.
Yeah.
Would he be the last?
No, Tony Parker. Oh, Tony Parker's
still playing. Yeah. I just remember my Manu Ginobili memory. The 05 finals when they played the Pistons. I got so pissed off with him because he would just every time he would do his Manu Ginobili, he would flop every time, and he always got the call. Oh, that pissed me off.
Well, maybe Tim Donaghy was calling the game.
Maybe.
It's one of those things where I love Manu. I thought he was awesome. He's kind of one of those guys that he was probably good enough to be a starter, but for some odd reason, when you would start him, he would be terrible. But if you started the game and then 30 seconds into the game, you brought him into the game, he'd have a great game.
Yeah.
It's just one of those weird things. In my opinion, he's a Hall of Famer. I don't care what anybody says. I'll fight you to the death about it. But at some point, you know, like we're reaching like just a point where it's bad, you know, and it's not like, so if the Spurs were falling off and he was still like the main draw, okay, man, you know, no one's going to care. Go play your games, but they're a good team. And it sucks kind of seeing that he can't really contribute the way he used to.
And they got Kawhi Leonard, so it's not like they're terrible or anything.
Oh,
like,
yeah, they got Leonard, they got Aldridge. They got
a new crew.
Yeah. I think they've done a great job with rebuilding that team. Like, that's the difference between a bad franchise and a good franchise. A bad franchise will have star players, and once they either decide to move on or retire, they got to go through this rebuilding process. Pop started rebuilding like 5 years ago.
And they keep going.
And they're just going to keep going.
Yeah.
They're going to slowly, you know, they nurtured Kawhi properly. They nurtured Danny Green properly. They brought in Aldridge. Just to me, a great decision. Rajon Rondo has a new team.
Who's he with now?
New Orleans Pelicans. Rondo is not the man he used to be.
Mm-mm.
But he did decent in the playoffs this year with Chicago, right? And with Chicago, he had Jimmy Butler, who's a nice young talent, and then Dwayne Wade, who's like archaic. You know what I'm saying? So in saying that, I would say that he probably will fit better with Anthony Davis and
Cousins. Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same thing. They're essentially same temperament and everything. You like that? Yeah, so I think Rondo's a good move for the Pelicans.
The veteran influence that they need.
Well, I don't know if he's an influence because he's been a notorious a-hole his whole career and tough to work with. But from the scheme of, like, actually having a point guard that will be able to help them create, that's great for them. No offense to, I think it was Drew Holiday they had last year or whatever. But I just think Rondo is, you know, he can't shoot the ball worth a lick. He can't take it to the rim like he used to, but he can pass. And he plays relatively smart basketball. It sucks how much he's fallen off. And, you know, for a while there, I thought John Wall was going to be a lot like Rondo, but he's learned how to shoot the basketball, which I'll give him credit, because Rondo came in and was just like, oh, I'll blow by everybody for 10 years in my career. And then once he couldn't blow by anybody, it was too late for him to learn how to shoot the basketball. Blake Griffin got a shot before Rondo did. That's crazy to me. It's crazy to me. So yeah, I think that's a good. Now, granted, they're in the Western Conference. They ain't going nowhere.
Oh no, they'll be lucky to make the playoffs.
I don't think they're making the playoffs. Look at the teams that they got in the West now. Like, if you're looking at it, Golden State,
San Antonio,
Houston. They'll lose in the first round, but still Houston.
Clippers and Jazz are done though.
T Wolves. Let me pull this up real quick. Let me just take a look, because once I see them, I'll be able to tell you. All right, so you got
Grizzlies,
Golden State, San Antonio, Houston, the Thunder, probably the Grizzlies. You got
maybe the Blazers,
maybe the Nuggets. You got Minnesota coming up. Who knows what's going to happen with the Lakers? I still think they're going to be another year of not good. But, like, it's going to be tough. It's going to be I'll tell you something. The only teams you know that are going to be crap is the Sacramento Kings.
And the Suns.
But other than that, I don't see them making the playoffs. I see them maybe battling for an 8 seed.
That's why I say they fight for an 8 seed.
But I doubt it. But, I mean, I think they'll be more exciting to watch. So next up on the list is Derrick Rose. It's been rumored that he might end up with the Bucks. Which, again, in that scenario, that might be a really good decision.
That's another team that's been building.
It's another team that, you know...
But then again, you know, he wasn't very good with the Knicks, but then again, the Knicks are the Knicks.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, the Knicks run, you know, if you look at it, right? If you look at the issues of the Bucks, their main issue is at the point guard position. You know, because everybody loved Matthew Dellavedova from a few years ago, but let's be real, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's their biggest issue. So they bring in a guy who, and they're not going to need him to be Chicago Bull Derrick Rose. They just need him to play smart.
And he can't disappear.
And his leg can't fall off again or anything like that. I think that would be a decent fit for him. It just sucks. Him too, man. Him and Rondo were like, you know.
Yeah, they were great.
Him, Rondo, and Derek Williams at one point used to be the argument of who the best point guard in the league was. And now it's like him, Rondo, and Derek Williams is like, who's going to be in
whatever
the league
happened
longer?
To him.
Yeah, because Derek Williams was absolute garbage for Cleveland when they picked him up. Rondo did his thing with the Bulls, in my opinion. And then you had... Derrick Rose is Derrick Rose. Like, I don't understand him. Yeah. So, last but not least, the most important thing in the NBA right now, Lonzo Ball was a Summer League MVP.
Doesn't really mean much, does it?
He got a couple, I think he got at least one triple-double. I'm not sure if he got a second one. I know he was close. Magic Johnson swears that there's plenty more where that came from. Here's my thing. I'll kind of go back to what I was getting at. They are still going to be a pretty garbage team, in my opinion, for this upcoming year, mm-hmm. right? Now, in a year, if Paul George... I think Paul George is still going to end up in L.A. Who knows? You could have Lonzo Ball, Paul George, LeBron, plus he'll probably bring J.R. Smith with him. He'll probably bring Shumpert. With, you know, like... Mm-hmm. But, like, if LeBron goes to L.A., so you have LeBron go to L.A., you have, Paul George go to L.A., you have Lonzo Ball. That's three right there. I'll tell you, not that I watch a lot of Summer League, because I just think Summer League is like, come on, guys, really? The NBA is hard enough to watch. but I've saw some of it, and you could tell Lonzo, he's going to need to work on his shot. Mm-hmm. He could become a Rondo, kind of like John Wall, right? But his court vision's nice. His passing ability is really solid. Again, being the Summer League MVP... doesn't mean anything.
Was
in my
his
opinion.
Dad? Did a dad show up on TV or something?
Apparently, they said that the cameras barely showed his dad.
Really?
Yeah. Which is crazy because I believe ESPN did most of the Summer League coverage, and ESPN's all about sideshows.
Yeah, and they're even doing a reality show with him, the family.
Hey, I think LeVar Ball's a genius. I've been on the record of saying this, is there's this book out there called The 48 Laws of Power. I'm pretty sure he read it, and I'm pretty sure he understood that he went out to make his own shoe brand, and now they're getting, you know, offers from Under Armour and Nike in the $100 million range. I think it's pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. Man hasn't played a professional basketball game. Oh, he played Summer League. Shut up. He hasn't played a professional.
Man's making money.
Yeah, I mean, hey, I think LeVar Ball's low-key a genius. Is he annoying? Yeah, but he's a genius. Good How many point. Annoying people may get in this world? A lot. A lot. Jim Rome.
Rome.
I'm probably ruining my chances of ever getting hired by most of these major corporations.
Matt Trudell. Call out me on the air. He is off my show. Just like Neil Everett.
He kicked Neil Everett?
No, just remember the Neil Everett fight? Remember the fight with Jim Rome?
No.
On TV?
Jim Everett,
Neil Everett.
I hate Neil Everett.
Yeah.
Ugh. Ugh. Wait, is that who was Stan? Who were the two guys that did the LA Sports Center? It was Neil Everett, I'm pretty sure, which was the white guy with the glasses and curly hair who drove me crazy. Yeah. And that's a shot at Jack. Like, stop.
Yeah. I forget who the other guy was.
He, like, my issue with Neil Everett, and this would be a perfect topic to end the show on today. My issue with Neil Everett was he literally took the things that made other people at ESPN famous mm-hmm. and copied their swag and just combined it all at once. So he'd be like, back, yeah. and a shot of Jack. You know, and it's just my God, go jump off.
Opinion. What did you think of Stuart Scott?
I liked him. Because you know what? To me, he spawned, like, he was, he had Cool as the Other Side of the Pillow. He had Booyah. Like, other than that.
He just, I mean, I don't want to say anything bad about him because he tragically passed away of cancer, but he just got on my nerves. Just so he sound, like somebody said, he sounds like a white guy who's trying to sound like a black guy. You know, with his big ups and booyah and all that stuff.
Okay. I mean, well, maybe he was
really annoying.
Maybe it was the fact that he was a black guy and he was working in corporate white America and had to try and sound a little bit like a white guy. All I'm saying is, look, I like Stuart Scott. I thought you see a lot of guys nowadays that mm-hmm. act the way he used to.
Yeah.
I think he spawned. I liked him. I thought him and who was his partner? Oh, no, it was him and Rich Eisen. In my opinion, the best tandem in ESPN history.
Mm-hmm.
Get Bob Lee out of here. All right, guys. This has been the Benchwarmer. All right, guys. This has been the Benchwarmer. Oh, my gosh. This has been the Benchwarmer's Redemption here on Dragon Digital Radio. I have been Matt Trudell.
Jim Rome. I mean, Alex Baker.
And until next week, peace, stay safe, and remember to love yourself.